Hi, this is Michael South with HardToFindSeminars.com and Consulting Secrets. Here's an exclusive USP training with one of our HMA consultants named Matt Peppel and Richard and myself. Matt had acquired two new clients and was ready to deliver the USP to them in a few days and just wanted to go over some concerns and questions with Richard about the USP in these two specific situations. I think you'll find this real-life case study enlightening and will help you in developing stronger, more accurate USPs. This recording is about 50 minutes. Enjoy.
Hi, Matt.
Hi, Richard. How are you?
Good.
So we're going to hopefully give some good insight to the difficulties of developing a USP when companies have so many different things going on. So, Matt, just you can introduce yourself and describe how you got the two clients and challenges that you're having. And, Richard, you just help them out the best you can, and we'll get this on tape.
Where are you located, Matt?
I'm in Chicago.
Okay, great.
Great. Richard, what I have or what I've done so far with the system, I've cured two clients. Two of them that kind of had relationships already, so it wasn't a completely cold relationship, but I used the system to kind of secure them and bring them some structure to what I was going to do. One is a company here, a manufacturer, kind of eco-friendly products such as like meditation mats. They manufacture some hemp furniture, yoga mats, hemp shower curtains, stuff like that. And the company here, it's called Bean Products. It was a company that first, it came up with this bean pillow a long time ago. The guy's sister actually invented this bean pillow, which is this long body pillow. It's about as long as your body and you can kind of lay on it. A lot of pregnant women use it.
Okay.
They kind of developed that. Now they've gone into other lines. So they have several different lines of products that they manufacture. Most of their business is done, they're selling to retailers, either mostly online stores and some small brick and mortar stores. The challenge that I'm having with that particular client, you know, I've done the focus group with the employees and the staff, and I've done some interviews with some of his customers. Most of his customers, again, are retailers. He didn't have a real database of end users of the product. So I'm contacting the retailers, getting a feel for their experience dealing with the bean product store. And what I'm getting mostly is products are good. You know, they all had kind of relationships with the owner, Chuck. There's nothing really unique about what they do. They really like the products. That's pretty much it. There's definitely no USP in place. But the problem is he has so many different products. Like he has, like I said, shower curtains, furniture, mattresses, yoga mats.
How many retail clients does he have, do you think?
I got the stuff right here. I mean, probably he has four or five big ones that probably make up the bulk of his sales.
Okay.
Then the rest are maybe 20 to 30 small little startup online, in and out of business type companies online. They kind of want to start an eco store, and so they call this guy and say, I want to order your products. But his business is resting solely on about four or five major clients, and the rest are small.
What is your target group that you want to go after in growing this business? Who are you wanting to go after? More retail?
Actually, this guy wants to get more into direct marketing to sell his products directly to consumers.
Then that's where your USP should be.
Yeah, that's what he's expressed to me, but the customer list that he provided to me, of course, is all retail.
Right. So what you have is a challenge there in creating a USP for a new market.
Right.
And so you might need to, instead of talking to customers, talk to prospects. Find out where they're shopping now. Who is his competition in going to the direct market, do you know?
Pretty much. It's a lot of his retailers that he sells to already. He'll probably be competing, you know, directly with his retailers. Because, you know, when I go out on the web looking for hemp furniture or the various lines that he carries, I'm coming across a lot of his products that Richard.com is selling, the hemp sofa that he makes. All his retailers would then become his competition. He's actually selling his manufactured products to.
Well, how is the retailers going to feel about that?
Don't. That's an interesting thing. I was telling him, I said, well, if you start to focus more on direct, you know, all the people that sell in retailers are going to be competition. You know, I don't know if he's thought that through completely, but he expressed to me that he wants to do more. He feels that he can have more of a profit margin if he sells some of his products directly.
Well, he's not uncommon. A lot of manufacturers are starting to go that way.
Right.
And it's because of technology and the web. And
he has a website with his products right on the web right now. Gaiam, I don't know if you're familiar with a company. It's called Gaiam. They sell like all these all-natural yoga videos. Well, that's one of his biggest clients. For example, they sell something, it's a bamboo clock, like a clock you put in the office. And Gaiam sells this clock for $89. He makes a clock. He sells it on his website for like $20 less. So he's already competing with his
other manufacturing competitors.
Not to these particular products, because they're kind of unique. No one else makes the same type. Some other companies make hemp furniture, but not the same style, not the same materials.
There's two answers to this situation. One is, you really have to do him a service in making sure that he enters into competing against his retailers without killing his retailers. You as a marketing consultant have that obligation to make clear that, listen, if we go against your retailers, you either have to price protect, you have to do something so that they don't stop taking you, or how much business does he do a year? What's his revenue?
Let me see. I got that written down from the opportunity analysis. $1.5 million.
Is he getting some direct business now?
Some. It's not anything significant. I mean, he gets some. I mean, that's how I formed a relationship with him. Then into his manufacturing place and bought something. But from what he's telling me, is a very small portion of his revenue, which he wants to beef up. And that's
right. Okay, well, then that's where your USP needs to be going to if he doesn't want to build his retail. So learn what you can from the retailers. Be sure and go get the book, Differentiate or Die, by Jack Trout, all right? Because what I'm thinking is usually when you have a guy that has built up kind of an exclusive or kind of a market dominance, then his USP can be built around being the first or being the best or being the leader. And Differentiate or Die has some good chapters on that. Because it sounds like if he doesn't have a lot of competitors and he doesn't want price to be his USP, maybe he is the price leader. If he is the manufacturer going direct, then he's probably got the best shot at being the price leader.
Another thing that I think about his company, because he offers such a wide range of products, it's kind of hard. As I was talking to Mike, it's almost like he needs USPs for each line.
No. I wouldn't worry about USPs for each line of product. That's going to get too hard.
Right. That's what I was thinking.
It needs to be based on his company. And that's where I'm getting the feeling like maybe his company is the leader. Maybe they're the best. Maybe they're the first out in the market. Maybe they have the best quality because of that, and so maybe he should have the best guarantees. That's one way to go. The other way to go is he's the low price leader, that anyone buying direct is not going to buy it direct at lower because he's the manufacturer. You could position him as the price leader. The problem that's going to have is that's going to conflict directly with his retailer. So, yeah, I think your first obligation is to just make sure he's clear in what he's planning to do and how he's going to handle his retailer.
That's good. Got one more client that I'm working with, and this is a much smaller concern. It's a gentleman who actually went to college with who, over the last 4 or 5 years, has completely got himself out of debt in real estate, and he's doing information marketing. What he does is he markets via a radio spot, pushes people to like a little seminar on like a weekend, and then he sells 3 different packages of real estate training, like a 4-week training program on
how to buy real estate.
Exactly, how to invest in real estate. And this is what he's selling. So he has like the silver package, the gold package, and the platinum package. And it comes with 4 weeks worth of training with them. Well, not every day. You get like a DVD of a video training. You get this software that kind of analyzes property for you. And you get a couple more things. But essentially, what he's created thus far, he just started this thing in February. And he's probably did maybe, he'll do $100,000 and $125,000 for the year of 05. So essentially what he's done is he's created this customer base of people who've come to the seminar, purchased his program, and he kind of trains the people. You know, I'm trying to help him develop his USP as well.
He's got a lot of competitors.
Right, he's got a lot of competitors. You know, he's got Ron LeGrand and Carlton Sheets and
right.
Whitney and all of these guys. You know, the one distinct thing that I guess is that he's local and that the people here can actually see him. Based on the media that he's using a, I don't know how he did this, is before I met with him, but the radio station he used is a gospel radio station. I don't know if it was cheaper. I don't know how he got it. Just a black guy. And pretty much all the marketing is to, pretty much in the black church, is the black women. So the black women are the ones who are pretty much attending the seminars, dragging their husbands or coming along. So this is kind of the niche that he's kind of created with. I mean, it's kind of tied into Christian because of the medium he's using.
What do his ads say?
He's not running any ads. He runs these radio spots. And these radio spots, he's talking on there. He gives a couple of wealth tips. His website's called thewealthtrainer.com. He just put this up. It's not really reflective of a lot of his information, but he has this little short spot that runs on Tuesday, Wednesdays during the day. It covers the south suburbs of Chicago. It doesn't fully broadcast all across the city. But he's generating leads off of this thing.
What does that spot say? Can you tell me?
I listened to it several times. Essentially, he's talking, he's interviewing, he'll give a couple of tips. And then he tells people that we're going to have this wealth workout session, and you need to call and register, and it's $5 or $8, and it's going to be at this certain place. He tells you you're going to get some valuable information about investing in real estate and creating wealth and getting out of debt. And that's pretty much what he's telling the people. Then they call. He gives his business line, and then he has an assistant at his house. He has home office. They pretty much call her and say, you know, I want to register for the January 7th wealth workout session.
And then they come to the seminar. And what do they buy there?
Well, he does like a little two-hour thing. He gives some examples and tells his story about how he was working at GE and got burned out. And they laid him off, and his gas bill is going to get turned off, and he turned to real estate investing and got completely out of debt and blah, blah, blah. And that's the story, you know, that he tells, which is his true story. And then at the end of that, he's pretty much throwing the pitch that I can train you how to invest in real estate very simply. You know, I got the software, and you can enroll in three packages. You can do the gold that doesn't, you know, has this. The platinum has everything. You know, it's got these three different ones. And that's pretty much how people get into the system. They come first to the seminar, and then he sells them one of these three packages. So that's his thing. Now, I've contacted his client base, because I got a focus group with him, and I contacted his client base, and I was trying to get a feel for why people invested. Due to the nature of the medium that he's using, it's all women that I'm talking to, and they're pretty much saying, I invested because I felt like, one, he was accessible. A lot of these other people have probably either purchased or looked at the other Carlton Sheets or Ron LeGrand stuff. They don't see it as being as accessible as this guy. Two, he's black, and all of these people are black, so they kind of can identify with him. He's a young black guy who speaks intelligently, and they see him as sincere. And I've even got people saying he's a nice Christian man, so they tie that into it.
Has he had some success?
Have the people had success?
Uh-huh.
I said he just started.
Started in February.
Right. Well, I called his class list from like May and July. I was calling the whole list. I only maybe talked to 10 people, but out of those 10, no one had actually done anything with the information. They actually had all these excuses about my husband got sick, or it was something that I didn't understand about the program. I mean, they all had rave things to say about him. And
they weren't unhappy people.
No, they weren't unhappy people. They just hadn't done anything. And I was saying, well, is there something that he was missing? Because I'm calling as if I'm customer service, of course. Is there anything else you can do? One person said, well, some of the information, I was confused about this or this and that. What I got was pretty much people bought in on the emotion of the moment, but didn't have the follow through. Now, I don't know if that has anything to do with him per se, or these are just the people that are investing. My gut feeling tells me that he's not qualifying the prospects properly.
Right.
So anybody that's got $800 on a visa can get in. But that doesn't really necessarily mean that person is going to get him to invest and go the whole way.
Right.
So that's essentially what I've gotten so far with his. I may need to call some of his more recent clients. I want to maybe call about 10 more just to see if the more recent people have invested.
Well, yeah, and then your guide in all of this is always, what's the void against the competition? What is the competition not doing? Does he have any reason to stay in touch with these people? Does he make money after they buy their package?
Not really. That's another thing. He doesn't have any real back-end products. Pretty much, you buy into this, and that's it. I'll help you when you want to do a deal. I'm here. I'll take you through this four-week training where they go meet. He takes them on a field trip, shows them houses. He'll take the whole group to a house, show them how to look for certain things in a house, look at the boiler and all the stuff. So this is all part of the four-week package. Several different sessions that ensue after that. But it's nothing really after that that he goes back to them for, because again, he doesn't really have a USP in place, so he doesn't have an offer or anything to go back to them with up to this point.
Is he wanting you to help him attract more front-end leads? Is he wanting you to help him close more at the workshop?
Both. He wants, one, he understands that he doesn't have a USP, because I pretty much told him on that, so he doesn't have that. So he wants that. His closing ratio was pretty low at his workshop. From what I got on the initial opportunity analysis, he tells me that he's closing about 25 to 30% of the people. So he's not closing that many. Also, something that was interesting, he says he has about 500 names on his database. Cause essentially, he's filtering these people through with nothing to go back to them with.
Yeah.
So it's only about 40 to 50 active customers at any point. And that's probably, you know, the last two or three classes that he's had. But he has a huge asset of customers that are sitting there, either didn't invest, they don't know what to do next, or, you know, they're kind of just lingering in the database.
If I were looking at him and knowing what I do know a little bit about that competition that he's got, I think you're on to something very strong in accessibility. But that's got to mean a higher success rate. That's the only thing that will make that USP real, is that because he's accessible, he succeeds more, or his clients do.
From what I've gathered, again, I went to the older classes first. I haven't really obtained that.
He hasn't had that happen.
Right. Not at least from the earlier classes. Now, I'm going to contact some more customers today and see if I can garner that information maybe from some of the more recent classes, the September and the November classes. But from the older ones, everyone seems to have had an excuse of why they hadn't invested. A lot of these people may be information junkies. They give me a reason why they didn't use it, because interest rate wasn't right, all this stuff. So
well,
I don't really know.
He's going to be pretty short-lived, Matthew, if he doesn't get some back-end success. The word will start to spread, and he's going to be short-lived. If I were you, I think I would be working the USP towards the success of the back-end. In other words, after they come to a workshop, create something with him that makes him unique in the follow-up in the implementation. On the front end, he's getting leads and everything, but if you will strengthen the back end for him by creating some success, that will create more leads on the front end.
Richard, I want to just interject. When you have a situation like this, and I'm just thinking for all the consultants, you know, Matthew's got this guy, there's definitely money in that business from what he's doing already, even if you didn't do a USP. What would you tell a consultant if they were tempted to blow the USP off and just go right for the hidden assets, where contacting the old customer database, increasing the closing ratio to get some money under this guy's belt? Do you think that's something that could potentially be done?
I would guard against that. I'm a believer in the USP because of just what I told Matthew. In other words, it brings legitimacy and it brings credibility. Michael, you're right. He's got some assets right now. One is his closing rate in the seminar is not very good. And if he could improve that, that would be significant dollars for him. But what is it you think he's going to improve? I think the way that he would get more closed at the workshop would be to have something in place that's going to be following up to ensure their success.
He doesn't have any guarantee at all.
Okay, there you go.
I asked him about that just off shooting the breeze with him, because again, it's a personal friend. He tried to do something similar to a guarantee at one time, and I guess the way he worded it got so confusing that the people didn't understand. He kind of shied away from it, and he's like, I don't want to mess with the guarantee, because I want people to think that they can just come in and do nothing, and if they don't make any money, I'm going to give them that $800.
I agree. You probably don't want to go that far. Michael, are you saying that because the economy momentum is so great that maybe the USP is already there in the concept?
I've thought about that the USP, I know it's important, but it can get in the way from a consultant getting on with their clients. You know, the USP doesn't bring immediate results. People are impatient. You know, consultants want to bring their prospects some tangible results quickly, and it's just something that's probably tempting. I mean, it tempts me to go right for where the money is. The guy's making money. If you could close more, just access those hidden assets, put the USP aside temporarily. I don't know. I'm just running this by you. Is that something you've ever done?
My experience has been that a good USP is what will close more.
See, I was thinking that the USP is actually the piece that's missing that will allow
create more results.
Right, that will allow them to go to the old customers with the USP and says, do you realize that we do blank, 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 and we have the software? Because some of the other things that I didn't mention that are kind of unique about them, he kind of has a payment plan. So say you don't have the $800. The company will kind of work with the people because, again, a lot of these are single black females that are not making $500,000 a year. So he'll work with the customer to get them enrolled in the process, which I know for a fact a lot of the other places won't do. And if they do it, they don't do it in a way that's comfortable and really flexible for the customer.
That might be his USP.
Well, it definitely is one of the things that allows people to get involved. Now I say, well, I don't want you to get into this whole accounts receivable murder mess where you're trying to chase people around for the money, but it is something that's unique to him. You try to take a Ron LeGrand workshop, first of all, you got to fly to where it is. Mm. Even pay $6,000.
Matthew, the USP around that kind of advantage is easy to work with. He makes it easy to get into the business. He makes it easy to learn the business. He makes it easy to afford getting into the business. And he makes it easy by being accessible. And so all of that feeds a USP that I've used frequently, if that's an advantage, and that is that he's easy to work with. And so it might be that you could build something around that.
When I try to, and I go out and I look for the competition, of course, the competition is who we mentioned, the Carltons.
It's a little harder to do business with them.
Right, it's harder to do business with them. There is one guy here locally in Chicago that I personally know of, because before I even started talking to my friend, I actually talked to this guy about investing in real estate, and he's local here, and he does something similar. The difference between this guy and my client is that the guy is a real estate broker, and his whole process is to sit you down, help you get a business plan, invest in real estate, set you up with some hard money lenders, and help you buy your first house. But he's a real estate broker. He actually kind of pitches you to become a real estate agent.
Yeah.
To help build his real estate.
Yeah,
property.
Help him find properties.
Exactly. He'll pay you. He's building his real estate brokerage / mentoring you on how to invest in real estate. And that's pretty much the only local competition that my guy has. And I've been looking on that guy's website, and he has testimonials and all type of stuff on his website about people who've had success, which my client doesn't. He doesn't have any testimonials out there at all.
I can tell you that the good, unique selling proposition, the reason it's step number one in the system, is that
this is the end of part one.